You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
This will be the last time that I'll get you up here tonight. And Brother Rick, it sure is good to be known as the one with hair when you get to be our age. It sure is good to be known to have a little bit of hair. As you can see, I don't have a whole lot up here. All right. Jesus, hold my hand. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need Thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by Thy power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. Kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be wholly Thine and sing redemption.
Somebody, I love you with the love of the Lord, and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Brother Leland.
If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew. If you don't have a Bible and would like to turn to the book of Matthew, if you hold your hand up, we'll get you one. what we're doing that, I was read about a gentleman that he and his son were potato farmers up in Idaho. And every year his son helped his daddy get the land ready to grow potatoes. And the old man had some of the best potatoes in Idaho. And the son got in a little trouble and got sent off to prison. And the old man wrote son. He said, "Well, son, looks like we'll have no potatoes this year." Said that entire 40 acres over there where we raised all those potatoes is overgrown with weeds, and I just can't cultivate it. I can't break the land, and so I don't guess we'll have any. And the son wrote back to him, and he said, "Dad, whatever you do, don't do anything to that 40 acres. He said, don't touch it, don't dig in it, whatever you do, don't do it." Some of you don't know this, but they read your mail from prison. And the next day, FBI showed up over there with all kind of cultivators. And they plowed up that entire 40 acres and found nothing. Son wrote back to his dad and said, "Dad, that's the best I could do on short notice." Now, you've got to be thinking to do that. You know, that takes some thought. I want to talk to you tonight about faith. Faith is one of those words that we just talk about. If you ever listen to radio or television preaching, that's a word that's probably used more than everything. They're always challenging you to have faith and that God can do this. If you have faith, God will do that. And we talk about this thing of faith, and I want us to talk about it a little bit here tonight. It's a word that's always used, but seldom is it defined. And just what does it mean to have faith? Now, if you'll turn just quickly to Romans, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, that's way over in the New Testament. If you get to the book of Revelation, you're too far. Go back to the left. But Hebrews chapter 11 gives us the definition of faith. The very first verse, and if we get that, I want you to hold your finger there because we'll be back with it in a little bit. Thank you for taking your cap off. Appreciate that. That's good. Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, first time somebody read that to me, that still didn't mean much. I've always been kind of mentally slow. But faith is not wishing. He said it's the evidence of things not seen. It's there, but you don't see it. Let me give you some examples. Today, the wind blew. Anybody see it? No. We saw the results of it. As soon as I got here, I walked out, I took out the loop sign, set it down, it blew over. I didn't get two steps. Now, we know the wind is there, but we don't see it. You know, people say, "Well, if I don't see it, I don't want to believe it." Well, do you believe you got a brain? Have you seen it? No. Hadn't seen your backbone either. So, but it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, there's a story, and just hold your finger there because we're coming back to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But our text is going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 9. And while you're turning to that, just let me pose some questions quickly. If we have faith, will we get everything we want from God? People are told when they pray to get well and they don't get well, they say, "Well, you didn't have enough faith." And they pray that they won't get time and they get time. They say, "Well, you didn't have enough faith." It's always Your fault. Now, well, if you had faith, would you get everything you wanted from God? Is faith kind of a credit card with unlimited amount to it? If we have faith, will every prayer be answered? Yes. If we have faith, will our lives be without any problems? Now, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, it said, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came into him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be unto you." Now, I want you to notice the key to this is not their eyesight, and the key to this is not how much faith that they have. The first question he asked them was this in verse 28, "Believe ye that I am able to do this." Look to me, Jesus. It centered the key to faith is the attitude toward Jesus Christ. It's not the attitude toward my problems, not the attitude toward my needs and all of these things. See, the value of faith depends upon the object of our faith, not the amount of our faith. Let me say it this way. Faith is like swallowing. And you could sit in here and swallow till your throat is sore and still starve to death. Because it's not the swallowing that gives you nutrition. What is it? It's what you're swallowing. And you can swallow junk food, or you can swallow ribeyes. The key is not in the swallowing. We keep talking about it's somebody's faith, that I have something that I can cause God to move. I'm in checker game with him and I can make him jump. And that's not how it works at all, people. We can't measure our faith by our wealth. In fact, there's a fantastic story about that, but Jesus said that in Luke chapter 12, he said, "Man, it's not what you got." Just because there was a rich man there that had all kind of things and got richer. And I've noticed this about some of the rich. The rich get richer and some of us get poorer. But keep this in mind, it ain't over with.
That's right.
See? There's another day. Hey. So, you can't measure your faith by your friends. Somebody said friends are like shadows. They just come out on sunny days. A guy pointed this out to me a few years ago, but kind of my definition of a friend is who put money on your books. Yeah. It's amazing, and usually it's not friends. It's them people we run off from and thought we smarter than them, like relatives, mama, daddy, brother, sister, them old fogies, them old people that don't know much. But they're the ones that we usually have to depend on that. Can't measure our faith by our feelings. See, you can't just drum something up and say, "Man, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. Oh, I just want to have faith. God, give me this faith. I need faith. Man, if I had more faith, I'd have more money. If I had more faith, I'd have better health. Had more faith, I'd have a better car. Had more faith, I'd get a better job." It's not dependent. See, the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. It's not stuff that we want. Think about our prayer life. Just you look at your own prayer life. Well, our prayer life is mostly about us, isn't it? See, it looks like a Christmas list. Dear God, gimme, gimme, gimme. The source of faith And here's another one you need to turn to, Romans 10:17, the source of faith. You want more faith? I'll tell you how to get it. Romans 10:17 said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't pray it up. It comes from believing what God said. It's a little song that people sing, like many of our songs. They're not very biblically correct. One of my favorite songs for years was "I Won't Have to Cross Jordan Alone." And after I began to learn my Bible, I found out I wouldn't have to cross Jordan at all. But it was a good song. But we sing the song, "Every promise in the book is mine." It's not. Because everything is not about us. Back to that Hebrews 11. I want you to look down there at verse 7. And it says that by faith, Noah built an ark. God told him what to do. And keep this in mind. Now, you talk about taking some faith. God said to Noah, "We're going to have a flood." And Noah said, "What's that?" Because up until that time, it had never rained a drop on this earth. God watered it from beneath. And he said, "It's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. You need to make an ark." All of these things are totally foreign to Noah. But he said by faith, he believed what God told him. That's what faith is, what God tells you. And by the way, he put it in writing. Don't tell me that you dreamed something. Don't tell me that you felt something. "Oh, brother, I just felt, I knew it." Let me tell you what, every divorce started with "I love you." "Well, I felt like she was the one." "Well, what about the one before her and the one before her?" Now, see, "Well, I just feel like." Feelings change, don't they? Some of you found that out last time you voted. Things didn't come out quite like you thought they were going to, did they? Noah built that big boat, that ark, because God said it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. Now, skip down to the next verse. We were at verse 7 about Noah, but notice this, it said, "By faith, Abraham." Abraham went out in the far country. God told him, "Leave your family. Leave your relatives. I'm going to take you to another place. I'm going to show you the land I'm going to give you. I'm going to make a nation out of you. You come on." And by faith, Abraham did that. Now, follow me carefully. Let's just suppose that Noah had gone into a far country and Abraham had built an ark. It'd been wrong, wouldn't it? Because God told Noah to build an ark, told Abraham to go into a far country. They believed what God said. They obeyed God. Faith will cause us to obey God. See, it's a totally different thing. God tells us things in His Word. You can go read it. It's not something that you feel. And I'm not against feelings. I thank God for emotions. I thank God for guilt feelings. I thank God for that God has made us emotional and we can feel. But don't operate off of them. See? Don't put all your confidence there because that will get you in all kinds of trouble. What does the Word of God say? Now then, God gave instruction and examples for us to compare our faith as we go through here. Turn with me now to the book of John, if you will. You're in Matthew. We've been in Hebrews. Now we're going back. and to the right of Matthew in John chapter 14 and verse 13. Notice what Jesus says. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father shall be glorified in the Son. And many have taken this as just a magic word to put in the name at the end of a prayer. Well, Father, I want a Cadillac. I ask this in Jesus' name. Father, I pray the judge will cut me some slack. In Jesus' name. And we can go through all kinds of things. It's not a magic ending that we attach to a prayer. What he's saying, listen to me, what he's saying, are you asking what Jesus would ask? Say, if I go across town over here, and I'm talking to Brother Doug, and Brother Doug said, if you go over there, you can get a discount on gasoline, if you tell them I sent you. And I go over and say, now that Brother Doug told me this, he told me to come over here and ask for this. I'm doing what he told me to do. See? I can get some help because of Brother Doug. Jesus, this is not just a magic potion that we put on the prayer, but it's what would he ask? What would Jesus ask? And notice that he said, in this, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. Is it going to glorify God? Is it going to glorify the Son? We ask for stuff, and we try to get the faith to get stuff, whatever that may be, and it's for our use, 99 times out of 100. And God knows that, but we're not doing it like he wanted it done. It's just for our own selfish purpose. Notice another one. Turn with me to 1 John. Go way over past Hebrews now. To 1 John. Chapter 5. This is right before the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. And look at verses 14 and 15. He said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What did he say? If you ask anything according to my will. One, we need to know enough about God to know what his will is, don't we? What is God's will? And sometimes we don't know that. We can learn some things in this Bible. I know it's God's will for me not to steal. I know it's God's will for me not to lie. I know it's God's will for me to go to church. I know it's God's will for me to read the Bible. I know it's God's will for me to pray. I know it's God's will for me to treat people right. We know those things. God's will. But there's sometimes I don't know God's will. Do I take this job or that job? Do I move here or there? What about this or that? What is God's will? Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes you don't know. We're looking for answers. But Jesus Christ himself, here's an example. In the Garden of Gethsemane, said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. In that cup was every rotten sin that you and I and every other hellion in this world has committed. All of the adulteries, all of the thefts, all of the murders, all of the lying, all of the stealing, all of the sins in that cup. And for Jesus to pay our debt, he's got to drink that cup. And of all the things that Jesus Christ, the one perfect man on this earth, that would turn his stomach would be the fact that he committed a sin. And not only a sin, he has got to take the sins of the world. The Bible said God hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And three times Jesus said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. and he didn't get the answer he wanted. He come back. Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And he didn't get the answer he wanted. And he said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And a third time, he said, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. He knew he had to go to the cross and become sin for us. Paul, a person just like you and I, with problems like you and I, flesh and blood like you and I, had some kind of physical problem that bothered him during his ministry. The Bible didn't tell us what it is, and people have guessed at it. But he went to God with it. And he said, Lord, I could just do so much better and do more work for you if I didn't have this affliction. So would you remove it? The Bible calls it a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan that was given to buffet Paul, to whip him around a little bit. Satan hated Paul. God loved him. Satan hated him. Keep this in mind. When God loves you, you just created an enemy. See, we forget about that part of it. Well, God loves me. Well, yeah, and Satan hates you. That's why the battle's going on. But Paul, three times he said he prayed. And three times God said no. We forget that an answer to prayer can be no. In fact, I really think that there's four answers to prayer. There's yes, we all get that. There's no, we forget that sometimes. There's later. It's like you've had your children come to your own, you as a child, and you said, can I have my pie now? No, after you eat dinner. That's later. You're going to get the pie, but it's after you eat dinner. So there's now, there's yes, and there's no, and there's later, and then, in my case, sometimes it's been, you got to be kidding. But he told Paul, he said, most glad, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul, you're keeping your mind on the thorn in your flesh. You're worried about yourself. Think about my grace. And you know what Paul said? He said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities? Will I glory in my problems? I've never gloried in one of my problems. I hated it. But Paul said, I'll glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Three times, Lord, what would you have me do? There's one prayer that's never had a no answer. You know what it is? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Never been a no answer. Been a lot of no answers. Saints of God in the Bible had some no answers. Paul started one way and God said, no, you can't go that way. And he started another way and he said, no, you can't go that way. But the only answer in the Word of God that's never had a no was, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a faith that's always regarded. You got faith enough to do that? You have honesty enough to say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and faith enough to put you to trust Christ to save you. In fact, he simplified it so much in Romans 10:13. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's where faith starts, with the person of Jesus Christ. Just like with those two blind men who Jesus said, you believe me? You believe me that you believe I can do it? Focus on me. And I don't want you to bow your heads. With your heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. You'd say, Leland, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. If I were to die tonight, I'm lost. I know that. I'm aware of that. Leland, would you pray for me? I hate the condition I'm in. Would you pray for me? If that's the condition you're in, and you're tired of it and sick of it. Now, if you're enjoying it, I'll pray for you, but in a different way. But if you say, Lynn, would you pray for me tonight? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Would you slip your hand down? We're going to pray in a moment. God bless you. I see your hand. Your hand. Yes. You can put them right back down. Won't you? Yes, I see your hand, sir. Somebody else. Anyone else? Real quickly, we're going to pray. I've never trusted Christ, my Savior. I'm lost tonight. If between here and wherever home is for you, you get T-boned by an 18-wheeler, I'm not going to heaven. And you say, well, Leland, you trying to scare me? Yes, I am. Yeah, if I could, I would. I really would. Because I want to see you go to heaven. And I know some of you, doesn't mean anything to you. Just an old man trying to talk to you about things that you're much wiser than. It's a joke. And like ever lost person that's ever walked on this earth, and those in here tonight that are saved have been there. And you know how you used to look down on and ridicule those Bible thumpers and those folks that wanted to talk to you about Jesus. And you had it going. You were ahead of them. But let me tell you, it's not over yet. This old book, oldest book I got, and yet it's the truest book. And it's more up to date than in the morning's newspaper. Tells me that Jesus Christ is the only way for you to get to heaven. The only way of peace and joy and happiness. Anyone else, real quickly, say, pray for me, Leland. I'm lost. Would you slip your hand up real quick? Anyone else, real quick? God bless you. Someone else. Someone else. Anyone else? Our Father, you know the hearts. Father, this is a time that we need to mean business with you. Father, this is a time that it's totally out of our hands. It's between you and each individual in here. It's a very personal thing. But you promised anybody in here that if they would trust you, that you'd save them. So, Father, I pray that you'd give them the courage, you'd convict them of their sins, and help them tonight to put their faith in you and in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. We ask these things in Christ's name. Won't you stand to your feet while heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed? And Brother Doug's going to sing, Lord, I'm coming home. Would you come home? Would you do that right now? Would you come down? I've wandered far away from God. Would you come right now? You lifted your hand. Would you come? Would you come? Someone else. Come on. Come on. Coming home. What would God have you to do? Come on. I've wasted many precious years. Lord, I'm coming home. Come on. This is the last course. No one comes. Coming home. Precious Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know if we've done what you'd have us to do or not. Father, we have to just depend on you. Those that didn't do what you wanted them to do, those that put it off again, Father, I pray you'd give them another opportunity. I pray you'd give them another chance. Every week, I guess, Father, that we hear and know of somebody we've known in the past that didn't make it through the week. Most of the time, they're kind of old folks like me. But way too often, they're younger folks. So, Father, help us to realize that this is real. Eternity is long. Deal with each heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, if you'd like to pick up the manuals, the refreshment bar is open. Thank you for being here.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.